guys.
Welcome back to TNT Dynamite Podcast. This is our second episode and we are super excited for this one. We are going to be talking about a winner's mentality. What it's like to have a winner's mentality and how two people from two different backgrounds still ended up with the same mentality and how it brought us together. So we are going to start off with defining what is a winner's mentality.
A winner's mentality, from what we could think of, is a person who isn't satisfied with just existing in this world. So they have a purpose of some sort. They're go-getters. They try to strive to do something, make some type of difference. Mm-hmm. They know for a fact that they are on this earth to make some type of difference. Mm-hmm. They strive to be out of the social norm, and they don't want to be defined in society's closed boxes.
Oh, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes we can get so caught up in society and, like, what Instagram tells us we should be, or, you know, that we should just be satisfied with doing the bare minimum, and, you know, we don't want to look dumb in front of our friends, and that's why sometimes people hold back with what they really want to share with the world and their message.
Image is everything nowadays to people.
It is. Yeah. It is, and it's sad how people get so caught up in that and they can't be themselves because they're afraid about what other people will think about them.
Yeah.
Which leads to blocking out the haters.
Exactly. You know, them winners are too busy blocking out the haters.
Blocking out the haters.
So these are also people that are resourceful. So, you know, it's with, especially with business, it's not about what you know, it's about who you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another big thing. And they take risks.
They are big risk takers because with big risk comes big rewards.
Exactly. And, you know, they're passionate about whatever they are trying to strive for, you know. So this isn't necessarily just about business. This can be about anything, you know. This can even be about a hobby. You know, if you love to paint, you know, you're going to be passionate about painting. And if you want to enter in some type of competition, you know, you're mm-hmm. going to
give it all you got.
Yeah, you're going to take whatever risk life has to throw at you.
Yeah, so pretty much hustler slash winner's mentality pretty much kind of goes hand in hand. It's just knowing that you're meant for greater, knowing that you need to do whatever you need to do to get it done, and just not caring what the haters got to say.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good one that so far sums it up. So even though me and Tina have two totally different backgrounds, we kind of ended up with the same mentality, which is cool because we've bonded over that.
Mm.
And it's something that, like, when you find that person that thinks the same way as you do, it's like a total powerhouse kind of duo that you get going. And that's like, they always say, surround yourself with people who are winning. And I think that's something we did. And we just feed off of each other. So when you're around people who have that winning mentality, you just tend to feed off of each other and you just get greater and greater.
Yeah, it's contagious.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. So, Tina, if you want to start off by letting us know a little bit about your background and how you ended up being this winning mentality.
So with the people that I like to say that were a very big part of my upbringing, weren't necessarily winners. They were hustlers, though.
Mm-hmm.
So they, even though, you know, they didn't necessarily win 100% of the time, they still gave it their all and did whatever they could to provide. Like, for example, my grandparents, you know, they did whatever they could to provide for their family.
Oh, so you get to see that growing up.
Yeah, so they were a huge, huge part of my upbringing. And, you know, they were my daycare. So sitting down with them and, you know, old people love to talk.
Mm-hmm.
So they mm-hmm. talked about, like, you know, what their parents went through and what they had to go through to get to where they were.
When they walked 10 miles just to get to the grocery store.
Yeah, exactly. On a dirt road.
In the blizzard.
So, you know, like, my My grandfather, for example, was born in a house down the street and ended up being the town supervisor for 33 years. You know, just like, you know, you throw my name out in this local town and it's like, oh, I've known you. You know, I know your entire family.
How did it make you feel seeing your grandfather, like, be that important person for the town, like, as a kid?
It was, like, so I was, like, the little mini secretary. So, like, you know, my grandfather had a lot of meetings at their house. So I would be the little girl that was bringing, like, the lemonade or whatever, like, to everybody. you know, and they would actually talk to me, you know, like, senators. Coming to my house, like, senators came to my grandfather's funeral.
That's
kind of
cool.
So, and it's kind of, even though it wasn't me, it was still kind of empowering, you know, like, this is my family, this is my blood.
Yeah.
This is what, yeah, this is what my family offered to this world. And then even my mom, you know, like, she learned it, those were her parents, you know, she learned it from them. And my mom hustled, man.
She was
my mom hustler. Still hustles to this day. My mom does not play.
Give it to my mom's that hustle.
My mom, you know, she has done every single thing that she possibly could to give me everything that I, not to say everything I ever wanted, because that kind of makes me sound spoiled, but like anything, if I wanted something, she didn't want to tell me no.
So that actually, now that we're on this topic, because I know there's probably a lot of moms out there that struggle with wanting to be entrepreneurs and wanting to have this mentality, but also wanting to be good parents for their kids. So would you say that even though your mom was always hustling and working, that still made a positive impact in you, even though she wasn't home as much?
You know, it's kind of tough to answer that because I had my grandparents.
Okay.
So, you know, I did definitely miss my mom. Mm-hmm. You know, growing up, like, I didn't have that, you know, mother-daughter bonding growing up. You know, I do now because, you know, I'm older now. I understand, you know, but when I was younger, it was like, where's mommy? You know what I mean? Like, and now, again, that I'm older, I understand that she did everything that she possibly could to get to where she's at now, to get to where my family's at now. And my grandmother, her mom, said, this was, like, her motto, you do what you do until you get where you're going.
Oh, that's a good one.
So,
that is a good one.
Yeah, so, like, my whole family lived off of that, still does live off of that, so.
I think there's also, like, for moms who are in this journey as well, to be able to just balance ourselves a little bit better, because sometimes we get so caught up in, oh, I have to give it all in one shot, or, you know, I have to give it all in work, and it's, like, that we can balance ourselves.
Absolutely.
And we can give, you know, to everyone in our family, plus our own passions, without feeling like we're stretching ourselves thin, and we have to practice self-care as well.
Yeah.
So.
And another thing, too, like, you know, people always say, I don't have time for that. You're damn right you have time. You just have to make the time.
That's a good one. That is a gem right there.
So, you know, it's like, I do wish that, you know, things could have been a little different. You know, I could have had a stronger bond with my mom. But I appreciate everything that she did.
Look how you are now.
Exactly.
Seeing that.
Exactly. And even, because there were even people in my life growing up that weren't, that didn't have that mentality, that weren't hustlers. So seeing where they are now versus seeing where the hustlers are now, that was a big eye-opener for me, too. You know, seeing what to do and what not to do,
you know? You observe your surroundings.
Yeah, so.
Awesome.
Yeah, but what about you, Tanya?
Well, mine's very different.
Very different.
Like we said, so I grew up completely different, not having anything. I grew up in a very poor environment, and I didn't have the typical childhood most kids have. So for me, it was more of a survival kind of mentality that I got into. I was raised by my grandfather, and he was, like, He was like 70 something and still hustling himself. Like,
hell yeah.
Still working, and he worked like 4 jobs. Oh, I remember when I was, I think I was like 8 years old, he used to deliver newspapers. And on Sundays, he would wake me up at 4 in the morning to go with him to deliver newspapers. And I used to hate it to the point that I would not only would I like punch my bed, just mad as heck that I had to get up, I would take it out on these people's porches, and I feel so bad because I would slam the crap out of the newspaper. I was like, if I gotta be up, y'all gonna be up. Oh my god, I can't.
That's like that girl. Why are you gonna sleep because of me? Why are you gonna sleep because of me?
I don't know. I was just, I don't know. But so I guess from a very young age, I was always meant to work, and I was always shown that way. And and then my grandfather, one thing that he did, which was so awesome, is he would, even though we didn't have anything, he would drive around in the rich people's neighborhoods, and he would say, if you want that, you have to work for it.
There you go.
And I remember that as a kid, like so in awe of these mansions, and I was like, I want that. And yeah, so that stuck with me.
He set a goal for you.
He did.
You didn't even know it.
He definitely did. And I think also adversity fueled me, because I come from, you know, a line of where people were mostly not winners, mm-hmm. in a way, you know, kind of took the wrong path.
Mm-hmm.
That for me was fuel to not be like that. Like,
what not to do.
Right. I wanted to change history. I wanted to be the different one in the family. And
the good black sheep.
The good black sheep, yes. The one who made it. But so that was something that fueled me. And I also lived in my car. So for anyone out there who is struggling and can't pay your bills, I've been there, done that. I know what it feels like. And that was just like knowing that you have to do what you have to do to move on. There's no, the world doesn't care about your excuses. Mm-hmm. They don't care about what you've been through. They don't care, you know, if you're a victim. They're just gonna keep going. And that's something that I learned early, was that mm-hmm. I can't be a victim, because the only person that's gonna be a victim is myself. Everybody's mm-hmm. gonna go past me, and I'm just gonna be sitting here wallowing and, you know, just
exactly.
being depressed. And listen, I'm not saying that it's always gonna be easy, because I have gotten into depression and things like that, but you can't stay there. That's right. The problem. You have to acknowledge what's going on, understand the message that it's giving you, and move forward.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that, you know, I've learned and has helped me in my journey of becoming this powerhouse that I'm meant to be, and also my passion for helping other people that, you know, haven't had the, you know, the perfect life given mm-hmm. to them, to know that if I can do it. You know, now I am married with a daughter.
Go from living in your car. Wait, hold on. Let's break this down here. Living in your car,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
From, this is from what I remember you telling me. So you lived in your car.
Mm-hmm.
You then moved to New York, because mm-hmm. you were living in Jersey,
mm-hmm.
in your car.
Mm-hmm.
Moved to New York. Started working for Ashley Furniture.
Mm-hmm.
Which is how we met, to give you guys background.
Hold on, we're going to bring back real quick, because there's a story real quick that's so perfect for this. Before I moved to New York, while I was living in my car, I had found a place on Craigslist to look at an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And then I spent the night at my friend's house that night. And I guess my registration, when you live in your car, you don't follow your registration or your insurance. You don't know any of your bills because you can't even pay them. So my registration... My registration must have expired. So a cop came and totaled my car that night. And I remember coming out, literally my bags were in my car, everything that I had was in my car.
Oh my god.
And I was like, no, you can't take my car, it's everything I got. He's like, it's too late, I already, the tow truck's
Damn.
Coming. So then the next morning, I had to go to DMV, and I had to walk, and I took a bus, walk to DMV, get my car registered, walk back, like, I think 2 miles to take the bus, then to go all the way to where my car was,
mm-hmm.
take it out with the little bit of money I had, and I still made it on time from my appointment with my with the landlord that I was meeting
wow.
with.
Wow.
And then he was like, so at first I was 21 years old at the time, by mm-hmm. myself, young girl. He was like, I don't want to rent to you. You're like this young girl, like, you know, I don't know if I could trust you. Then he looks in my car and he sees the bags and he's like, why do you have all these like bags and stuff in your car? And I was like, oh, well, at the moment I'm living in my car. Mm-hmm. And he said, and this is where I think we're all guided in a way. Mm-hmm. And that's why we have to kind of understand that there is something that guides us out there. Because he said, no 21-year-old girl should be by herself. I'm going to give you a chance.
Aww.
And I was like, oh my God.
That's amazing.
And I was just like, but if I didn't, if I would have stayed in that, like, my car just got totaled and I would have yeah. given up, I would have never gotten a place.
Exactly.
You know?
So yeah, that literally.
That's why you gotta hustle and do what you gotta do. And even when adversity hits and, like, challenges happen, take that as challenge, accept it, and do what you need to do. Because that is what I did, and that's why it got me to where I got. And I'm sorry, I cut you off before.
I ended up at Ashley Furniture.
Yep.
Ashley Furniture. You met your husband.
Mm-hmm.
Had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Bought a house.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're sitting in that house.
Mm-hmm.
In your basement. Mm-hmm.
Talking about our future projects that we're going to be doing.
That's crazy to me. Yeah. But in the midst of you buying this house and us sitting in that basement, you left Ashley Furniture.
I did. So Ashley Furniture, I ended up becoming an assistant sales manager, and I loved it. But sometimes when you have this destiny to do something greater, that typical job that keeps you in this box tends to not be something you can handle anymore. Mm-hmm. And I tried to keep myself in this box, and it got to the point where I just knew that a drastic change had to be made, and it had to come from me. And because what happens to a lot of us is that we get comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. comfortable is the worst yep. thing that you could be. There is no room for growth and comfort. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So I would have all these dreams and all these plans, and I'm like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this. And I would start them, and then I would never follow through because, number one, I was scared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something, it's natural when you have big goals, they're supposed to scare you.
Of course.
If they don't scare you, they're not big enough.
Mm-hmm.
So, but because I had the backbone of having a comfortable job,
mm-hmm.
I never acted on
them. You still had a stable paycheck at the end of the day, so
mm-hmm.
why keep going?
Exactly. So it didn't fuel me, and if anything, it just made me stay stagnant. So I decided that I was going to just cut all ties.
One day called me out of nowhere on a Sunday morning saying, yep, I'm not showing up anymore.
I'm done. That's
okay.
It.
Okay. Nice knowing you.
Yeah, and also, too, I worked every holiday, every weekend. I barely got to spend time with my family. I was sacrificing so much for something that wasn't even my own business.
Yeah, you know, it's one thing if it's your business.
Right.
You know, because then you're striving for your own success.
Right.
But, and I'm kind of beating myself down because I'm still there, you know? Like, but you were, and I am, striving for someone else's success.
Mm-hmm. Which, there's nothing wrong with having a comfortable job and a job that is guaranteed a paycheck.
Right.
If
no,
that's
yeah.
what you're okay with. But you have to, if that's something that you need to do for the moment to get yourself to the next level, make that just, all right, I have to go to work at this job mm-hmm. from 9 to 5 to pay my bills, and then from 6 to 12 is time to work on my business.
Yeah. Exactly.
So don't ever use it for comfort.
Yeah, that's exactly, you know, that's, and I'm getting into that mentality now. You know, this job is to save money.
Mm-hmm.
Pay, and obviously pay my bills that I got now. <my bills. laughs> But, you know,
'cause you wanna buy a house.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saving for the house, man. And then the house is where I'm opening up my own business. inside that house.
Yep.
So.
Oh, I can't wait for that business. I will be utilizing that one.
So, yeah. So, you know, you gotta, and, you know, not that everybody has to drop everything right now, quit their job right now. You know, it's not, you know, your time will come.
Yeah.
You know, your time was your time.
Mm-hmm.
Your time was 4 months ago, you know?
Yeah.
I'm working up to that time.
Well, my time was long overdue, and sometimes the voice in your head just gets so loud you can't ignore it no more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened to me. Like, eventually, you will get to that point where you're like, you know what? You know, a decision is going to shape my destiny, and I'm going to make this decision, and I've had enough. And now I'm working on these really cool projects, and I've gotten to tap into my creative side.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, literally, like, ever since I left, I'm like, I'm going to do this, and yeah. I'm literally trying all everything. Over. I'm a little overwhelmed by how creative I am. But you owe it to yourself to try everything. And listen, it's not always going to work. But
of course. Trial and error, bumps and bruises.
Exactly. And you have to just give it what you got. And if it doesn't work, on to the next one until bam. You're like, ooh, this is what I've been working for. Here we go.
This is what makes it worth it. And I feel like, you know, the people that want this mentality just haven't necessarily realized that yet. You know,
and they
like,
definitely have it.
Yeah, everyone everybody has it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they just have to realize, you know, what they're worth. Like, what they have to bring to the table. You know, because everyone is their own unique human being, you know, everybody has their own superpower.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do.
You know, there's some similarities, but everybody's different. You know, everybody has their own DNA makeup that makes them who they are.
How do you think, like, someone listening right now that is stuck and their ambition isn't where it needs to be, how do they get that out of themselves of what is their worth and what is their superpower?
Well, I think everybody should start off with knowing, just, and even just in general, you know, knowing what you're worth. Mm. Every person should know what they have to offer,
mm-hmm.
you know, just in general.
Know your value yeah. yourself. Love and yourself.
Damn right, love yourself. Yeah,
love yourself, honey.
Yes, honey. Love yourself.
Love yourself.
And then, you know, figure out what you're passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, if Billy Bob Joe wants to collect seashells, he can go collect seashells.
And he'll be the best seashell collector ever. Yeah,
say that 5 times fast.
Nope.
Like, you have to be true to yourself, you know? Like, you have to do what's best for yourself,
mm-hmm.
which is something that I struggled with for years. Because I'm such a people pleaser.
You are a people pleaser.
It's like disgusting.
But you're getting.
Oh, I'm transitioning into my own selfishness. But then that's okay.
Yeah, and it's not being. It is in a way being selfish, but that selfish is okay. You have to be selfish.
Being true to yourself.
Yeah.
And again, knowing your worth. I've finally figured out what my worth is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, thinking about myself a little bit for a change. And if. Freaking feels good.
It changes the quality of your life as well, because when you don't know who you are, you don't know your worth, it puts you in like mood swings. It's like up and down, because you haven't tapped into that part of yourself, so you're trying to find other ways to fulfill it.
Yep.
And you can't find, you know, that feeling that you're looking for, when in reality it's always been inside of you. That feeling of knowing that you are your happiness. You are your self-worth. You are the only person that matters, about knowing, you know, what your value is. And instead of everyone looking for it outward, or like for other people to validate themselves, they have to know that it comes from within first.
Yeah. And this is what, it brings it back to what we were talking about before. Everybody compares themselves to other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that, I feel like that's the biggest issue. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, what works for someone might not work for you,
mm-hmm.
or me, or, you know, anybody. So that's a really big factor of
that
it,
is
that they see something working for somebody, and then they try it and it doesn't work for them. So they sit there and wallow and get depressed. Mm-hmm. But it's a trial and error, you mm-hmm. know? Life doesn't come with instructions. Mm-mm. So it's you gotta find your niche. You have to figure out what makes you tick. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and that was a big thing for me, you know, like, I finally figured out my worth. I finally figured out, like, what my emotional home is.
Emotional home.
Yeah. That's and, you one. Know, everybody needs to find their emotional home. And it's not even just to get this mentality. It's to have a happy life.
Yeah. Just for some self-health. And so tapping into the emotional home for a minute, because that's a big one for me. What kind of changed? So I used to be very sometimes depressive, and mm-hmm. I would be able to snap myself out of it, but I never really tapped into it. I would just, like, dismiss it.
Yeah.
So when I figured out that everyone lives in an emotional home, and you have to figure out what yours is to be able to recognize it sooner. So mine was depression. Mm-hmm. And then now when I start going back to that comfortable little depression home, I recognize, I'm like, oh, you're doing it again.
Snap out of it.
Yep, and now I'm changing my emotional home. My emotional home, I want it to be happiness, fulfillment, you know, self-worth. And trust me, it's not easy. We're still working on it. But I'm definitely making my way. And that's what people need to realize, that what is your emotional home? Where are you living? Where is your comfort place? And, you know, tapping into that and being able to get out of that and having a healthy emotional home.
Yeah, and then that also brings it into our human needs.
Yeah.
So something that we learned from our wonderful Mr. Tony Robbins is that everybody has some type of human need. There's 6 human needs. Yes. So love, certainty.
Uncertainty. Significance. Growth and contribution.
Yep. Yeah. So everybody has those 6 needs, but, you know, one might be stronger than the other. Like, mine is significance, because I'm a people pleaser. Mm-hmm. So I find my own significance in pleasing everyone else.
Do you feel like finding out what you value first? So I know you value significance kind of at the top.
Mm-hmm.
Has it helped you understand why you do certain things that you do?
Yeah. You know, so when people realize what their need is to feel self-fulfilled,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's when they find their emotional home.
Mm. So now you're in a place where you can give yourself the significance that you've been looking for other people to mm-hmm. give you.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. Mine is what is certainty. So because of the instability that I had, I tend to hold on to certainty. I need to know what's going on. I have to be certain about something, because if I'm not certain, I'm a mess. Mm-hmm. And now I understand why I've done some of the things that I do, like, because I'm very fight or flight. Like, if you don't give me my certainty, I'm ready to get out the door and, you know, do what I gotta do.
Yeah.
And now I can talk myself through those moments when it's a rough one and my certainty is kind of, like, in my face. And mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, certainty, I feel you, I got you. But I'm going to put love first, because I want love to be my first, you know, human need mm-hmm. that I value before certainty. Because if you don't value love first, you can't get love unless you're certain about it.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep.
That just hit me like a truck.
Yep. Let that
sink in. You know, I feel like this is what we talked about in our previous episode, you know, like how I'm finally in a place in my life where I'm just happy with the one that I'm with.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not looking for the significance anymore. Now I'm transitioning into love too.
Mm.
That's so beautiful. I feel like, you know, we're kind of on similar mm-hmm. wavelengths.
We're making our way into living that healthy lifestyle and having that healthy emotional home. And yeah. It's so freeing.
It's so beautiful.
It is very beautiful.
Like, you feel like a weight is lifted off your shoulders, and all you did was just change your mindset.
Yep.
It's crazy. You know, you didn't have to move mountains.
No. And that's what sometimes I feel people think, that, you know, it takes this huge act to get into, you know, this healthy lifestyle and healthy mentality. And sometimes it's just changing one little thing and think and just changing your perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so easy to stay in this negative perspective, but it's really if you just change your negative perspective to gratitude. So instead of thinking, oh, this is going wrong, think about everything that's going right.
Mm-hmm. Because, focus on what's in front of you.
Yes, because if you focus on being grateful, you can't be mad when you're grateful.
Of course.
Grateful right now. Can you be mad?
Exactly.
You can't be sad if you're grateful. So that's another one, too, I've been practicing is practicing gratitude in those times where things are not going my way, and it kind of helps me through those moments as well.
Yeah, that's very true. And it's so beautiful.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, oh my goodness. I'm so excited that we were able to finally to do this episode. Thank you guys for listening. I hope that you guys enjoyed this podcast and that you got something out of this. We would love to hear your feedback. You can follow us on Instagram at @TNTDynamiteNY_. Leave us your feedback. Let us know what your favorite part of this was and what you got out of it. And hopefully you guys can get on that winner's mentality. You guys have a great night, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
Bye, guys.
Bye.